Most gracious and loving Creator of the heavens and the earth, our Mother and Father God, we thank you for this day, this beautiful day, together as friends in this community, and to recognize the strength that comes from being together and the influences that come to us from this sanctuary that has been a sanctuary and refuge of silence and wisdom for 2 decades. We ask that the energy of its intention would manifest in each of our lives with the gift of wisdom, the peace that passes understanding to any anxiety or stress that we may be dealing with and navigating, any hurt that may be present in our heart or body, and that your Spirit would give us the encouragement to know you are with us and that we are with you. We ask for this faith to believe the impossible in a world of division, that oneness is occurring now, beyond all duality and appearances to the contrary. We know that we are one with you and one with one another. In Christ we celebrate this gift and wish to be born again into its truth and reality. In Christ we celebrate. Amen. Amen. Please join with me in listening for God's Word. Our reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them fullness of life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than everything else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love.
Good morning. So it's the fourth Sunday of Easter, and it's Mother's Day. It's a day that we celebrate our earthly mothers, and it's also a time of miracles and resurrection and new birth. It's a time of tuning in and listening to what has come up for us in the light of our Lenten arising, and for making connections. This morning I was sitting across from my altar and I was wishing to tuck some little item in my pocket to bring with me, and I realized that these are my herd. These are my friends, and we're going to talk about sheep today. So don't worry, Peter, I'm not going to read from all of these books. But they give me a sense of connection with my purpose and with a lot that's arisen for me during this time. I found that in Lent, a time of getting still and quiet and connecting with my aim, which was really based around the idea of deep listening, that I was able to get quiet enough to hear the things that I needed to let go of. Not that I always did it, not that I always did let them go, but really it is possible to tune in and to get that connection with our source that lets us know exactly what it is we need in each moment. So Jesus tells us, I told you, but you don't see. I tell you in the miracles, but you don't hear. Two of the favorite things for me during Lent are the Easter Vigil and the 10-day Lenten retreat. I always sign up for the middle of the night, and I came up the first night at 2:15 in the morning. And driving over here, I was in awe of the full moon. And I know I've talked with many of you about how special it was. This Good Friday full moon was just bigger and more beautiful than ever. So when I got up here, I got out of my car, and I was just standing there in awe, gazing at it. And I heard something. I heard a mockingbird singing at 2:15 in the morning, just singing its heart out. And I was moved to tears for more than one reason. I had another time in my life when I had a mockingbird sing to me at 2:15 in the morning or 2 in the morning. And that time was after the birth of my first child. My daughter was born on May 22nd, and that was my grandmother's birthday. My grandmother died a year or two before Allie was born. But on those first nights that we were home from the hospital, I would go in to feed her at around 2 in the morning, and this mockingbird was right outside her window, just singing its heart out. And it wasn't just the first night or the second night. There were two or three nights that this went on. And I told Jeff about it. It just blew me away because I knew deep down that this was grandmother. And it wasn't her and her grandmotherly, you know, presence, but it was the presence of mother love that was welcoming this new creation and joining me in joy. So when I came up and heard that mockingbird, I felt that connection all over again. I told you, but you don't believe because you aren't my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. That's something that's always concerned me, the idea that some belong and some don't belong, that some are my sheep and some aren't. I was at Scriptorium yesterday, and I wasn't the only one that had that opinion. And what I realized in pondering this passage is that what makes us his sheep is because we develop the ears to hear, because we can hear his voice. So it's not that everybody doesn't have that same divine potentiality. It's that we don't connect with it. We don't do the work to open our ears to hear. So first of all, we start off with a wish. What do I wish to be? What am I? And what am I going to listen to? One of our recent community readings was from Felina Hurt's Mindful Silence, and there's a section called Hearing the Voice of God. And this speaks to me about how I might begin to desire sheepness, which is not typically something we would look towards as an attractive proposition. So listen to what she says. Once we have a sense of who we are, or I say what we are, we're on the path to discovering that for which we've been created. Our bodies have an innate intelligence, a truth sensor. They detect being misaligned with God's loving desires, often before it registers in our mind. When these uncomfortable bodily sensations, emotions, or thoughts arise, often instead of paying attention, we do whatever we can to avoid them and to escape the nagging voice. Technology, entertainment, relationships, alcohol, drugs, they can all serve as numbing agents for the discomfort and as distractions to the voice of God in our life. The more we neglect and ignore the voice, the duller our sense of hearing becomes. Before long, we grow deaf, and obedience to the loving will of God is then out of reach. Contemplative spirituality is about obedience flowing from love, obedience to our Creator, the Good Shepherd, who is love, who has a unique life purpose for each of us. But obedience has a lot of negative connotations in our culture, so it can be helpful to get back to the Latin root of the word. One of the greatest spiritual writers of our time, Henri Nouwen, helps us redefine and celebrate obedience. During his lifetime, he presented the option for us to live either an obedient or an absurd life. In his lectures and writings, he pointed out that the Latin word audire, from which the English word obedience is derived, means to listen or to hear. The Latin word certus, from which the English word absurd is derived, means deaf. It follows that an obedient life is one that hears the voice of God, while an absurd life is deaf to the voice of God. Contemplative spirituality has the potential to make the deaf hear, to make us sheep, his sheep. So you don't believe because you aren't my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. My sheep wish to be sheep. They wish to be able to listen. And they recognize their own nothingness and long for the guidance of the Good Shepherd. If I can listen and hear the wish to follow a new way of life out of the absurdity, it becomes attractive to be a sheep. The wish to know what I am and step into my purpose draws down that which will germinate the seed of a new creation. So there's another story of a time in my life when I had a deep wish. And on one level, it was a life wish, but on another level, it was a much deeper wish to go deeper and to move into the next phase of my life. Jeff and I were married for about 7 years before we decided we were ready to have a baby. And we kind of had that plotted out on the timeline of get married, have a good time, develop our careers, then get off the pill, get pregnant within a certain amount of time. And it was just all supposed to go along in a certain way. So I got off the pill, and a couple of years went by and nothing happened. And we had already waited a while, and it seemed like it was really time to get going on this. So we thought about fertility drugs and even took them for a couple of months. But something in me didn't feel right about it. It just didn't feel like what I needed to be doing. And I said, you know, I just feel like if we're supposed to have a baby, it's going to happen. And if not, maybe that's okay. We had had a great time our first 7 years. We were all about having fun. It was just easy, a lot of ease and comfort. We had a friend whose son called each of us Jeff and Jill. He didn't even realize that we were our own person. We were so connected and together all the time. So we didn't get pregnant, and we started engaging in spiritual pursuits. And we got in with a group studying the Course in Miracles. And we actually went on a retreat out in Lano with some friends. And at this retreat, there were a couple of energy workers. And we had a lot of time in the silence and a lot of time in nature. And so one night, it was another full moon night, after this energy work, I felt something when we were sitting in the closing circle, and it was something down here, and I just was like, oh my God, an egg popped. And I just, also with that, there was also something else that had happened besides the physical realization. I had realized that I had a lot of fear about getting pregnant and a lot of fear about having a baby. I had grown up with a relationship that changed dramatically after having a baby. I had a little sister that had health problems and actually died. And I saw that effect on our family, and it was really hard. And I realized that I loved what Jeff and I had just as it was, and that I recognized that it was going to be letting go of that phase of our life and that ease if we move forward. So all of that came together, the body reaction, the emotional recognition of a fear, and then a deeper wish and a willingness to go forward, because I was ready. I was ready for the next step. So within 2 months, I was pregnant, and we moved into the next phase of our life. And I want to speak to the idea that any time we have a wish, in the work of inner Christianity, we call that first force. It's a desire for something, and that draws our second force, which is the resistance, or that which opposes that force. And what's required is a third force, or a neutralizing, reconciling, relating force. And we're invited to create a new one of those. In life, we go back and forth like a ping pong ball with, I want this, I don't get it, I want this, I don't get it. And finally, like I almost did, we spin off and say, I didn't want it anyway. So we're invited in the work of inner Christianity to begin to make our personality become passive, and to start to work for something deeper, for our essence, for that which we were born with and born to create and develop. So I'm going to read a very small passage from the Commentaries, Volume 4, and it's on making personality passive. So the work teaches that our task is to make personality passive in order that essence can grow. Essence is born in us. At birth, we are nothing but essence, but it is undeveloped. The difference is that by itself, essence cannot grow beyond the primitive state, so that the first stage of life is to develop personality. But the second education is to work with the aid of the techniques of the work, and I add the silence, to allow the self to become more passive and essence to become more active. Personality surrounds essence as the flesh of a nut of an acorn surrounds the germinal growing point. It is the same in the case of an egg. An acorn cannot grow into an oak tree by increasing its flesh. It has to die so that the germinal point can grow at the expense of the flesh of the nut. Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it beareth much fruit. So our general task is to make personality more and more passive, so that it does not take so much energy and keep us in the prison of itself. And from our community read, Be Still and Listen by Amos Smith, the seed knows its own pod, the boundary lines it has always known. This is its comfort zone. To imagine something else is fraught with fear. We fear what we don't know, unless we are in complete trust and connection with our Good Shepherd. We fear uncertainty and not getting our way, not being in control. So the biggest obstacle to transformation is death to what we've known, death to our certainties, to that which doesn't want anything to do with sheepness, to the way it is always done. Every change is a small death that takes us further along the spiritual path. We become more and more accustomed to letting go and to change. Ongoing transformation, regeneration, and rebirth mark the contours of our true self, the new man. Always emerging into deeper self-knowledge and love, eventually the series of changes leads to all-out rebirth, when the seed germinates and moves beyond what it ever imagined for itself. When the soul begins in earnest, it becomes something entirely different from what it has known. It leaves the little pod, the place of years of comfort and security. It plants roots and moves skyward. It moves from isolated pod to connected tree, from wandering sheep to the herd, to connection with the earth, connection with the wrens and the mockingbirds who perch on its branches, connection with coyote lungs that breathe in its oxygen. Its life is no longer about its small, isolated reality. Its life is now larger, a vast network of interconnection and contribution to the larger whole. We let go of the small pod so the big tree can be born. We let go of the safety of the womb and umbilical cord for a new world that waits on the other side. We empty ourselves of what we we've known so that God can impart what we don't know. We become sheep. This is the case of so many times in my life, and even now, being called to something deeper. I recognize it. I don't know what it is exactly, but I feel the energies, I feel the desire, and a fear comes up because I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to look like. So it's the same song, different verse. I'm seeing that dancing with my old buddy Fear and its team of distractions, often with the lights on, but still it doesn't make it feel any better. So I have a wish to follow. I've accepted that I am a sheep, and I'm responsible to train this sheep to hear the voice of its good shepherd and to remain in constant connection with its source. The seed has germinated and it's growing, and there's more. The new creation knows the Father and I are one. I see the father and mother of aspects of our source. The mother energy is the one that cares for and nurtures and is compassionate and feeds this new creation. She houses the umbilical cord, that connection to source that keeps us in the flow. It's big responsibility. She consented, and now she cares for this new creation. When you're pregnant, there's a lot of things that you're willing to let go of that you wouldn't do for yourself. And suddenly it's easy to do because you know that you're birthing something new and there's nothing that's too good to feed this new creation. So nourishing this new creation. On the Lenten retreat, I had a dream, and it seems that every retreat I have a meaningful dream. And this one really spoke to me of this idea, and it was really dramatic and vivid. I had gone to a sporting event, and it was a really large venue, and my son was with me. And at that time, in this dream, he was about, I'd say, 3 or 4 years old. And when I got there, I realized that our tickets were in the basement. And so we went to our seats, and I was like, oh no, this isn't going to work. And you can ask Jeff about this. I'm always big about getting the best seat, the best campsite, and we'll work hard to make sure that that happens. So I went looking for a way to get out of this basement and find some better seats. And I left my son there, and it was like there were big screen TVs so you could see the game, and there were arcades, and there was junk food, and so I just went looking around for a way out. And when I came back, he was beside himself saying, Mom, come here, we got to get this lady out of here. And he took me to this game machine, and there was a woman with a baby at the breast, and she was just kicked back in zombie fashion watching this thing on the screen, and it was so violent. And way too much of the dream was this seeing this violence, kind of an unloading dream. But what was interesting to me is that he knew that that baby didn't need to be exposed to that environment, and he came to me to get it out of there. And I yelled to the woman and said, tried to tell her, this isn't the place for this baby to be, but she didn't have ears to hear, she couldn't hear me. And so I told Peter, we got to get out of here. And we left, and there was a ramp out of there, and it was a ramp up, and we got out of there, and it was like I could breathe. There was light, and there was air, and we were out of the basement. So what that dream really spoke to me about is the importance of the atmosphere and the influences that we bring ourselves to, that this new creation is so delicate, and it's so dependent on us, and we're housing it, and we're carrying it with us everywhere we go. So what we connect with, the influences that we come under, are what's feeding it. And it can be stunted, and the growth isn't guaranteed to continue if we aren't vigilant at where we take ourselves. So we have the wish to know what we are. We develop a willingness to go towards our fears, towards the things that we know bring up blocks. And then it takes us to a willingness to be obedient to that which feeds the new creation, wishing to be what it is that I was created to be, willing to see all the blocks that flow, that block the flow of the connection to the source, and to go towards it and befriend it and dance with it. I told a friend last week, I believe, that I was really in a weird place. It felt like the best way I can describe it is feeling the opposites come together. And it's really strange because I feel intense energy and juice, and I feel neutrality. And the old man has typically taken all this juice and the energies and used it for itself and used it for taking it out, the energy. But I feel like I'm being really squeezed tightly and taught how to bear it, how to hold this energy rather than dissipate it, and to pay attention to where I'm sharing it. And I liken it to the divine dance, to being on the dance floor, being held and squeezed tightly. And it feels like, the old man feels like it needs to go this direction, but my creator, my divine partner, is holding me tightly and swinging me in another one. And then it takes a step and then it's brought back. And it's this spinning around the dance floor, which can be disconcerting. And that's only if I'm trying to be the lead. If I can just let go, which I've never been great at following when I dance, but if I can do it, if I can wish to do it, if I can will to do it, I'm being spun around that dance floor and I can let go. I'm being held so tightly and loved. This idea of sheepness also connected me with the four consents that we've been looking at in our spiritual journey series. And sheepness has kind of struck me as all four consents rolled into one. I can't be willing to be a sheep and to accept my nothingness if I haven't first recognized my basic core of goodness. That's what has led me to so much doing, trying to be good, because I don't really believe it inside. So that's a big one, to really get it, that if I accept my basic core of goodness, then I can let go. I don't have to be something other than a sheep that follows. I can step into that flow and be led. The second consent is consenting to our gifts and to grow and to become that unique sheep that we are created to be. The third consent is about our diminishment and letting go and really going further into the nothingness, letting go of all the roles and identities that we've built up that have held us and that have taken us spinning outward. And then finally, to our transformation into the new creation that we are meant to be. So I see the mother is diverting her nourishment to the new growth. And it's important that she take in and be aware of how she's using it. She needs regular rest in the Father where she can remember. And that we're introduced to that, and it's such a core of our practice here of taking deep rest in God daily in our centering prayer practice, and then in time apart on our retreats where we really get to leave our ordinary busyness behind and quiet the inner chatter. The mother and father have to come together in that flow of oneness. And in this flow, the old man becomes passive and the new creation is being birthed. We're in the flow. The father, mother, and I are one. And I invite you to just close your eyes, and we'll close in a prayer and a wish. Loving Creator, Mother, Father, God, Source, may we wish to be your sheep, the ones that know you and listen for your voice, that listen deeply for your guidance and experience your miracles. May we be willing to let go of all that does not nourish this new creation ever so gently, that we may give back all the energies that have been diverted and blocked the flow of your divine, nurturing, supportive, and wise mother love. May we live obedient rather than absurd lives that awaken our deepest and truest desires, which are one with yours as love. And may we be forever grateful for our earthly mothers that consented to our presence here on this plane, that we might participate as your new creation. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
We're singing, "I Seek a Pure Heart, Pure Enough to Receive."
I seek a pure heart, pure enough to receive. I seek a pure heart, pure enough to receive.
I seek a silent heart.
I seek a silent heart.
Silent enough to hear.
Silent enough to hear. I seek a silent heart. Silent enough to hear.
A conscious heart.
I seek a conscious heart.
Conscious enough to see.
Conscious enough to see. I seek a conscious heart. Conscious enough to see.
A pure heart.
I seek a pure heart.
Pure enough to receive.
Pure enough to receive. I seek a silent heart, silent enough to hear. I seek a silent heart, silent enough to hear.
A conscious heart.
I seek a conscious heart.
Conscious enough to see.
Conscious enough to see. I seek a conscious heart. Conscious enough to see. Conscious enough to see.
Amen. This is the time in our service where we take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hands and remember the truth that in every dimension of our life, God's love has always met and will always meet all our needs. Therefore, I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's remember this truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. we dedicate this green energy, which is only needed because of the form of this world, to the victory of consciously chosen love, which transcends all forms, and calls to us to trust into a deeper dimension called Father, Mother, who provides for us, walks with us, attends to us, and blesses us on our journeys. We dedicate these gifts to the victory of consciously chosen love over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear in each of our lives, relationships, families, and on this planet. In Christ we pray. Amen.
In the book of Moses, Moses compares God to a mother eagle.
I will care for you like a mother eagle, as she tenderly cares for her young. I will feed and shelter you when the time comes. I will make you restless, I will stir you up. Then I will bear you upon my wings. Together we'll take to the sky. When you're ready and the wind is right, I will let you loose so that you can fly. And when danger comes, I will protect you. And when you are lost, I will hear you. And when you grow weary, I'll be there beneath you. And with my wings, I will catch your fall. I will show you how. How to soar and how to fly. I will let you choose your own direction. I will never be far from your side. And when danger comes, I will protect. And when you are lost, I will hear you call. And when you grow weary, I'll be there beneath you. And with my wings, I will catch your fall. You have with dry wings. I will catch your fall, and with my wings I will catch your fall. I will care for you like a mother eagle.
Let us now rest in the silence of God's love for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives. Please join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Now is the time in our service when we get to step into the flow and to take in good nourishment for this new creation. Please join me in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear an answer when we ask. And Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is a cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Prepared her table for me with sacred bread and wine. Spirit prepared her table for me, offering the prepared her table for me with sacred bread and wine. Spirit prepared her table for me, offering the table for me with sacred bread and wine. Spirit prepared her table for me, offering the divine. Spirit prepared her table. Spirit. table for me, offering the divine. Spirit prepared her table for me with sacred bread and wine. Spirit prepared her table for me, offering the thank you.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one, in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand for Amazing Grace. For giving us the potential to hear and to step into the flow of your divine mother love. Amen.